You've mentioned your personal stories, and that's my next question. What's your personal linkage to Hong Kong? And first of all, I think you do understand some Cantonese, right?
So I understand, but it's just that I'm really not fluent, so I can't really converse. In fact, it's very embarrassing. But yeah, it's a I think it's a colonial hangover. So we went to obviously non-local schools in Hong Kong. I'm from Hong Kong. I grew up there and obviously only left when I went to, university and work and et cetera as an adult. So Hong Kong is home. It always has been. My grandfather was a newspaper editor. So when I was a child, I spent the whole time listening to the next story about Hong Kong, the next issue, the next scandal, the next fire, the next sports event. And so my whole life was listening to, to stories about this place that we all loved. And it was home. And I think ultimately Hong Kong society, we had a very siloed society. So we're not wealthy, but I think the inequality in Hong Kong really showed itself over the last few decades. So we had a very separate international community, a very separate moneyed elite, these different silos that you had in Hong Kong that didn't always come together. And so I feel that as somebody who is more from the international school system, the complaints that you have that the international community didn't do enough feels very real and very resonant, and it's completely accurate. As a whole, the international community didn't really want to engage too much. So when you saw an encroachment of something that felt like it perhaps should be argued, whether it was, 2012, not even 2019, or, even in the 60s, whatever the case may be, often the international community didn't do enough. And so, yeah, I feel that, unfortunately, those who are the more international school kids could do a little bit more.
From your personal experience, I mean, how many of your friends are really caring about Hong Kong? Your fellow schoolmates who attended the same college, do you think you're the minority?
No, I don't think I'm in the minority, but I don't think it's, I think there are, unfortunately, people who are brought up to view Hong Kong, even if they've lived their whole lives, as a business opportunity. So perhaps their parents are not local, their parents are maybe on contract. And so they view Hong Kong as a transitionary place. And so when things are no longer working for them, they're very happy to move to another country. And they'll say, fine, we'll just relocate. And it's very strange to me, because those same people might have been in Hong Kong for their entire lives. That's not to say that's the case for everybody. I have a lot of very engaged friends. But I think that ultimately the way that we had those siloed communities, the way that we had kind of a separation in terms of the expat contracts that might enable you to live in a very separate housing estate, you might be kept very separate, and you might view yourself as other than local. And it's offensive to me, because ultimately Hong Kong is my home. So when people meet me, they go, oh, well, you're a foreigner. And I'm like, no, this is my home. So we, especially people who are mixed race like me, we obviously have a fine line between feeling othered in various situations.
You've mentioned those expats who chose to relocate elsewhere, but there are also other examples, like a gentleman like Alan Zeman, who chose to present to the whole world that Hong Kong is even better than before, and he is being seen as a representative of the so-called Westerners in Hong Kong. So how do you think about those cases? And are they really representative in a sense?
I don't want to present my way of thinking as the only way of thinking. And so I think the temptation is for me to be incredibly critical of somebody who would repeat a line that they knew to be somewhat untrue, whether that's based on keeping influence, whether that's based on making profit. Mm-hmm. So I try to not be too judgmental, because perhaps they genuinely believe that stability, economic prosperity is achieved in a very different way to the way I would view stability needing to be achieved. I have no respect for those who cannot see the erosion of basic human rights that they have enjoyed for many years and are willing to turn a blind eye when it's vanishing for the rest of everyone. I mean, these are the same people, and indeed not just the Zemans of our world, but many of our authorities have benefited from a strong civil society, a strong society with human rights, with freedom of expression. This is how everybody has grown up. This is how Hong Kong came into being in the first place. Now, it was not perfect under British rule. There were problems then as well. But ultimately, the system was stable enough that people benefited. And so to pretend that that's disposable now is something I take issue with.
Your movie is about the NSL, but perhaps the worst is yet to come. And the Article 23 is coming, and that will be focusing on spies and foreign intervention and so forth. So as someone with your background, a mixed race, and who have been growing up in Hong Kong for decades under the international environment, and your friends are mostly non-Chinese, I think, or some of them at least. So do you think if you're still staying in Hong Kong, you'll be exposed to a lot of uncertainties or risk?
I think realistically, you don't know your level of risk anymore. And that's a very sad state of affairs. And I think that people, even a single mom with children, may be feeling that they're vulnerable. And that's pretty terrible. And that is a real indictment of how people are viewing the judicial system at the moment. So Article 23, I remember writing my university dissertation on Article 23. And this is many years ago, because I am not young. The fact that it has come back again, it is coming back, is saddening. After all the work that people have been through, I think that the propositions that people wanted are very basic. They're really not very radical. People just wanted to maintain some sort of level of their freedoms. And the overreaction in these policies being brought forward, and the speed of which, because obviously they are unopposed, so the speed at which they can be enacted is something very worrying. Frankly, if you were very different to me, and if you were a Zeman sitting in your office, I would think that you should also take pause and wonder exactly what the business prospects are going to be, or what the international reputation is going to be going forward.
So after this movie, which is to anticipate any possibility to go back to Hong Kong.
是誰去定義異端、邪說、妖言惑眾？街坊眾神是一本由香港社會底層出發，以公眾輿論的角度梳理香港複雜而多層次的歷史。香港存在著各種來源不同的宗教，但是彼此之間從來都沒有出現過重大的爭執，可以說是19世紀以來一個重大奇蹟。街坊众神以街坊围炉八卦的角度走入12位奇人异事的原木日常。
I hope so. I hope we live in hope, right? Yeah. I think that when you embark on a project like this, I think that at numerous points you have to stop and ask whether or not it's worth it to yourself. It's worth the risk to your contributors. And ultimately, when I look around, and if you have a moment where you feel vulnerable, or you're worried, or you're worried about one of your contributors, and you look across and they're doing something incredibly brave, and you just have to think, well, that's if you believe it, then say it, you know. And if you live your life in that way, then hopefully by the end of your life you have no regrets. Right. And also there is a privilege. There's a privilege to being able to speak English, being able to feel like you can relocate to different countries. You know, I feel I'm very aware of my privilege. And so sometimes if somebody who cannot say that, perhaps I can, with a slightly lower level of risk. Of course, nothing is, you know, of course, everyone is at risk. But if you have no money, if all of your family are there, if you have to stay there, if you are waiting for your court case, if you've already been arrested, of course, you're in a much more vulnerable position than I am. So sometimes you'll see in the film that I voice my opinions because it's easier for me to say it than to let someone else say it.
So my final question is, how's the response from your parents or family members and your friends? Are they worried or they are proud, or what's the case?
I do not speak to about the details of things because obviously it's much better for people to assume. If I'm going to assume any risk, obviously, I will assume risk to myself only. So yes, I mean, I think ultimately, my wider family, whether that's outside of Hong Kong, are predominantly quite liberal. And so they understand the value of expression or the value of human rights. And so I think widely, yeah, friends and family are supportive, but I think it's probably best to try and, yeah, to do that solo.
Great. So for the people in Hong Kong, if they want to watch the movie, what's the best channels in a safe way?
Yes, I don't know. We joked. We did joke. We said, are we going to have to hand out USB sticks to people? You know, but, you know, do like a North Korea exchange. Because obviously our film is about art. Our film is about the power of a creative act. There is nothing violent about it. There's nothing that is full of hate. There's nothing that is trying to cause damage. And so realistically, you would hope that at some point people would understand the message of the film. And the message of the film is about joy. And understanding that Hong Kong's spirit is not just tied to a time in the protest movement. Like Hong Kong creativity and Hong Kong spirit is something that lives on in a wider way. And so you'll see at the end of the film, people are contributing. So they're contributing art, they're contributing dance moves to this piece. And I'm still getting to this day videos from these amazing people, you know, saying, well, I want something, I want to contribute, and I've left home and I'm in Vancouver or wherever. And I think that's incredible. Like if we've provided a boat, like a platform for people to feel that they can empower themselves, I think that's kind of amazing. And it's really like it's a communal art project. Are we very dangerous? No, but do we give people hope? I hope so.
So your confidence that despite what's happened in Hong Kong, the spirit would still live on?
I think it does.
How can that be sustained?
I don't think it can be sustained in the same way. I think that we evolve. And I think that feelings and emotional states evolve. And I think it's a very inexact science, but I think that you can see that there's a period of depression. And you can feel that in online discourse, or there's a period of feeling bereft because perhaps there are a large amount of people who are in a strange city and they're missing home. And these sort of feelings are permeating in various ways. But I do think that we are human and we have to find ways to survive. And if you are a creative person, often your way of channeling your emotions is by making your video, by writing your news piece, whatever it is that you do. And so I was very proud to just say, look, here's a project. You illustrate. Is that how you know, see the world? That's how you express yourself. Can we please showcase your work? And that was a really beautiful thing, actually.
Well, that's been really happy to know about your optimistic viewpoints towards the future, and hopes are definitely what we need right now. So thank you so much for your sharing, and I do hope that we have the chance to enjoy your movie as soon as possible, no matter where we are. And for those in Hong Kong, I think we would eventually got some ways to have your movie appreciated somewhere, sometime. Thanks so much, Sam.
Thank you very much.